so that you can do with us what you want to do.
Amen.
Help us to be obedient to God through brokenness. And we ask that you give us wisdom and understanding, and that you bless our facilitator tonight and give her wisdom and anoint her lips and her heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much, Pamela. Before we actually head into the teaching, I wanted to just share a video with us. And even as we go through the teaching, I would just let you to keep this video in the back of your mind. Just let me share my screen quickly with you. Can everyone see?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, we can see.
Good, good. So play now. I just want you to keep this in the back of your mind, even as we speak about brokenness, and what's for every ailing woman.
So God spoke to Jeremiah one day, and he said, go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, so I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he brought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. And you know, sometimes that's how our lives feel. Something comes along in life and just totally messes up our life. I love the story of the potter and the clay, because he didn't stop there. So Jeremiah was watching the potter. So he made it again. I seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah. And he said, cannot I do this with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God was speaking to an entire nation at that time, how they had wandered away and turned to idols, and their world was falling apart. Yet God was saying to them, if you just turn over yourself to me, I can remake you again, just like the potter. He was saying that to a whole nation. How much more could he say that to us as individuals? So let me ask you, could this clay ever fix itself? So why is it that we think that we can fix ourselves, or that we have to fix ourselves or make things right before we come back to God? When in reality, we never really can fix ourselves, not really. And all God wants us to do is just turn the mess over to Him. Just turn it over to Him, and so that He can put things back together. Because see, He's the potter. He's really good at that.
Amen. So just let me pause it quickly. Right, so even as we go through the teaching for this evening, I just want us to keep that video at the, I don't know, it will be the back, the forefront, you know, even as we discuss, you know, shed some light on that video. Okay, let me just share my screen with you now. Just let me know when you can see it. Can you see my screen now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good, good, good. So as I was saying, we're on to chapter 4 this evening, Brokenness, a Must for Every Wailing Woman. So we would have just watched the video on the potter and the clay. So the aims for this evening would be for us to just expand on what is brokenness, Why is brokenness a must for every willing woman? And how is brokenness achieved? So what is brokenness? You know, it's always good to go into definitions so that as we move forward, you have like a foundation to stand on, or at least, you know, a basic understanding. And then we just move from there where we can just develop some more on the topic. So when you speak of brokenness, these are the two definitions that I pulled from the training manual. And then we can just expand on them some more. So the first one says brokenness defined. Sorry, it says giving the Holy Spirit complete access, freedom and control over every area of our life. It brings us to a state of malleability in the potter's hand. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So 1 Corinthians... Okay, I'm hearing some feedback. So could everyone please mute their mics? Yeah. You can unmute when you're ready to speak. That's not a problem. Right. Good. So as I was saying, the first definition drew reference from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, so what, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, so this is one of the definitions that was made available in the training manual as it relates to brokenness. So he's saying, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And the second definition said, it speaks about basically brokenness is dying to live. Death to the flesh. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. All right, so we're going to be, again, you know, I like interaction. So could someone please unmute? And based on these two definitions that were given, could someone explain to me what they understand from this term brokenness, and brokenness as it applies to an individual's life? So could someone please unmute and just give me a definition, their own definition, based on these two definitions from the training manual?
Excuse me, please. What page you reading from?
No. I'm not using the training manual right now. But the training manual, in the training manual, is actually page... Let me give you the pages. It's from page 18 to page 22. So it's chapter 4 we're looking at. 18 to 22. Okay, good. So could someone just give me a basic definition? Your Ashley. Own definition. Hello?
Ashley?
Hi.
Sherri-Ann.
Yes.
Good evening to you and good evening to everyone.
Good evening. Blessings. Good.
I think the brokenness is when we are totally sold out for God, that we are really caught up with the things of the spirit, and flesh has no part in the things that we do. We hand over every, we are led by the Spirit completely. We are totally sold out for God.
Okay, good.
And flesh is crucified every day in our lives so that God will get the honor and glory from our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's a good definition. Is there anyone else?
Ashley,
yes. Sorry, I think I'm hearing like two voices.
Yes, I was speaking. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Hi, sweetheart. Okay. How are you?
Sabrina.
Yes, in a nutshell, what came to me, we are broken down. So self is crucified, and then the Holy Spirit builds you up. Self crucified, spirit enthroned.
Okay, good. Yeah. Self crucified, spirit enthroned. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Someone else was speaking to.
Yeah, so Sharon Hermit.
Uh-huh.
For me, brokenness means our recognition. Mm-hmm. and our acceptance that of ourselves, we are nothing, we are broken vessels, and only being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit can we be what God wants us to be.
Oh, good, good. Amen. So
that's what this is for me.
That's good, that's good. That's very good.
Okay, I would say brokenness is giving the Holy Spirit complete access, freedom in your life, give him fully surrender in every area of your life.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so everyone gave a definition of what brokenness is, because it's so much. But at its core, it is complete and total surrender and submission to the Lord. You see this scripture here in John 12:24. Well, both scriptures actually. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is saying whatever, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do. And you know, as it relates to eating or drinking, you know, those are like simple stuff. You know, those are like the regular everyday. So it's saying whatever it is that you do, you must do it unto the glory of God. Meaning basically everything you do must be done to the glory of God, right? And then the John 12:24 that speaks about the kernel of wheat falling to the ground and dying. And we all know that seeds, when you plant a seed, it must die first before it shoots forth seedling or gives off more seeds or whatever. We know that it must die first, because it's in its death that the new tree, the new plant springs up. And whenever I hear this scripture, you know, I like it. Whenever I hear it, it's like basically, again, it's like complete, it's like death. It's like, you know, complete death to the flesh. So you get poor and you can't move. You know, they say when you poor dead people, they can't move. So it's like death to the flesh, meaning that the Lord has complete access. And because he has complete access, that means he has complete control. Right? Complete access, which means complete control over your life. You know, and that is my prayer for all of us. You know, that we will be completely broken before the Lord. Because when you hear the word brokenness, I remember the first time I encountered this topic. And it was like, what? What can be good about being broken? When something is broken, you throw it out. You know, but not in this case, not in this instance, not in this context. That's not the case, because we need to be broken, which is completely surrendered, completely submitted to the Lord so that he can then use us. All right. So good. Let's move on to the next slide. Okay. Let me see. Oh, I was having some problems. Good.
Excuse me, so, can you make it a little bigger?
No, I can't make it any bigger. I can't make it any bigger because it's a PowerPoint presentation. So I don't think I can expand it. Or if I can, I don't know how.
That person can just, if they're using their phone, they can just rub their hands over it and it'll open it bigger. If they're using their computer, they can enlarge it on their computer.
Enlarge their percentage, true. You can enlarge your percentage if it's a computer and like tap twice on your phone or like open it. I don't even know how to explain. Touch it and just pull open. Yeah, so it can increase. But from my end, I don't think I can do anything.
But wouldn't that affect what happens to you, to your showing, if I do that, no?
Well, if you do it, okay. Yeah, well,
what you have on your screen?
It wouldn't affect me. It would affect you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right. Well, not and not don't you don't have to worry about it, because these will all be emailed, one, and I believe they're all being posted to the Wailing Women Caribbean website, so you can always go and pull the information as well. Okay. All right, good. Right, so we just spoke about what brokenness was. We gave a definition of what it was, and so we want no evidence to prove whether or not you're broken. So I have two columns here, one with the evidence that reveals the person's life is unbroken, and then the second one as it relates to a broken life. So I'm going to give each person a scripture to read, and I'm just going to do it quickly so that we won't spend too much time on this exercise. So Brenda Lee, could you please look for Proverbs 16:5, Sharian, Timothy 2:24, 2 Timothy 2:24. Georgia, are you there? Galatians 5:19-20. Glenda, 1 Corinthians 1:12-13. Let me see what I have here. I have the Glenda. I have then Kenya, Proverbs 15:4. So the names that I just called, are you all able to read? Are your audios?
Sorry.
You have to say your name so I know who's the person speaking. Brandalee, you're the first one. So your Proverbs 16, verse 5 is Brandalee. Then Sharian, 2 Timothy 2:24. Then Georgia, Galatians 5:19-20. Then after Georgia, it is Glenda, who is 1 Corinthians 1:12-13. And after Glenda, we have Kenya. Kenya is Proverbs 15:4. And let me just give out the others. So Pamela, you're going to be Psalm 139:23-34. Are you able to read that one?
Yes.
Okay, good, because it's fairly lengthy. Psalm 139:23-34. Then it is, how with Pamela? Good. Then Ramona, Matthew 6:33. Sabrina, Psalm 34:1. Sharon, Proverbs 28:1. Teresa, Psalm 27:14. Well, actually, Pamela, could you read? I want you to instead, okay, someone else is here now chiming in. Pamela, could you instead read 2 Timothy 1:7. I think I want to read the Psalm 139. Yes, I want you to read that one instead. The 2 Timothy from verse 1-7. I want to read the Psalm 139. Okay. So Brandley, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just give me a quick second.
Everyone that is proud.
Just one moment, Brandley. I'm just here trying to pull up so that I wouldn't have to. It's only 23-24. Okay. Pamela, it was only 23-24, so that's actually an error. Anyhow, I would still read it. Not to worry. Okay. So good. So as we were saying, we're looking at evidence of an unbroken life. So Brandley, you can go ahead.
I'm reading from the New King James version. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he should not be unpunished.
Okay, good. So this one, the point for that, for this scripture, is pride. It speaks about pride and arrogance. He prefers himself to others. So read the scripture again for us, Brandalee.
Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he should not be unpunished.
Mm-hmm. So it speaks about being proud in their heart, pride in their heart, and that they will not go unpunished. We know the word of God says about the proud, that pride comes before a fall. And the Lord says he resists the proud. So if there is pride, the evidence of pride proves that the person's life is not broken before the Lord. You know, the person has not completely surrendered to the Lord. Okay? So the evidence of pride proves then that the individual has not completely submitted their life to the Lord. Okay, good. On to the 2 Timothy 2:24. It says contentious, always ready to pick offense. 2 Timothy 2:24.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient.
That's so they it. Must, right. So they must be gentle. They must be patient. Okay. So it says contentious. If the person is contentious, okay. Again, this is another something else here now. that shows that the person's life is not completely submitted. Okay, on to Galatians 5:19-20. The point here is emotionally unstable, exhibits unrestrained anger and bitterness. Galatians 5:19-20.
Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies.
So again, emotionally unstable, exhibits unrestrained anger and bitterness. Those are just like two areas as it relates to the scripture that was just read. But the only way, when we see emotionally unstable, so being emotionally unstable versus being stable, we know that the only way we can be stable is if we are in Christ, because he's a firm foundation, right? The word also tells us about a double-minded man, which speaks about instability or a person that's unstable. If they're double-minded, a double-minded man is what?
Unstable in all his ways.
Thank you. Unstable in all. And it says in all. That's what really stands out to me, the in all his ways. So it's not even just some, but in all, a double-minded man. If you're double-minded, you're unstable. All right? And it shows that he's unstable in all of his ways. Okay, the next point, tribalistic, denominationally biased, not kingdom-minded. This is a big one. 1 Corinthians 1, 12-13.
Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Mm-hmm. So I am a Bajan. I am a Trini. I am a Jamaican. I am an Anglican. I am Pentecostal. I am apostolic. Denominationally biased, tribalistic, nationalistic, if that is a word. At the end of the day, we are supposed to be kingdom-minded. I am a Bible believer. I am a Bible-believing Christian. That is who I am. I love the Lord. That is who we are. We are to be kingdom-minded. As it relates to God's kingdom, everything for his kingdom, everything for his glory. You know, we're not to be men pleasers, but we are to be God pleasers. We know what the word of God says, because when you speak about being tribalistic or denominationally biased, it speaks about disunity, because it's not, you're not being together. There's no togetherness because you're segregated, you're separated. So it doesn't speak about unity. It doesn't speak about oneness, you know. And we know what the Lord says about disunity, and we know what he says about unity. The word of God teaches us that it's in the place of unity that the blessing is released, even life forevermore. Okay? So it's about being kingdom-minded. And again, even as I watched this video, I was just talking about it the other day, and the teacher was speaking about unity in the body of Christ, and he was saying some people believe that when you talk about unity in the body, that everybody would leave and come to like one denomination, but that's not the case. It's everybody working together as one for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, all of the various arms, mm-hmm. having one thing in view, you know, mm-hmm. one thing mm-hmm. in mind, and that's pleasing the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, that is it. So being tribalistic and denominationally biased, it shows that it's evidence of an unbroken life. The next one, a sick tongue, Proverbs 15:4.
A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, and it breaks the spirit.
Read it again for us.
A wholesome tongue mm-hmm. is a tree of life.
Amen.
But perverseness, and it breaks the spirit.
Mm-hmm. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The word of God says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. We know that we can gather or we can scatter with the tongue. We know that. It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So it says here, gossipers, tale bearers, persons who are talkative, intrusive, those who criticize destructively. It is evidence that their life is not completely yielded to the Lord. The word of God says that Jesus said, I can only say what my Father says. You know, yeah, I can only say what my Father says. I can only do what my Father does. But here specifically, we are talking about the tongue. Jesus says, I can only say what my Father says. And we know that our Father does not gossip. He's not a tale bearer. He's not talkative. He's not intrusive. He does not criticize, period. So as long as these things are evident in our lives, our lives are not completely surrendered to the Lord. Okay? So we want to now move on to evidence of a broken life. So I have here, I'm going to read the Psalm 139. It's actually 23 to 24. That's an error, 34. My apologies. It says, examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me and guide me in the everlasting way. So the person exhibits deep contrition when he offends God, and he's never too familiar with God. So this is someone who is, like, again, as I said, the person is not familiar. And from the time he realizes that he has offended the Lord, you know, he seeks, and it's not even repentance. It's like you ask forgiveness. You just want to make things right. And you know, for me, I remember, like, even as you know, you're being processed. We are constantly being processed because we have not arrived. The only time that we will be perfect, or the only time that you have arrived, is when you see Christ. Right? Everyone agrees. It's only when we see Christ. You know, but constantly, you have never arrived. You're always learning. You're always experiencing, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember when I was going through my process with the Lord, I remember the like different stages. You go through the first stage where you're struggling to do what's right. Then eventually, you get into do what you're managing. And it's like you're getting it done, but you're doing it because of some ulterior motive. Not because you love the Lord. And then, you know, your transition, like, is the closer you draw to him, you know, then you transition to the place where, I want to please the Lord because you want to please him. And then you transition from the wanting to just please to I love him. I love him to the point that, you know, I don't want to do anything that would upset him. I don't want to do anything that would grieve him. I don't want to do anything. You know, so it's like you're constantly transitioning. It's like the closer you get, the more the desire grows. Like Jesus is your only body, or the only thing that the more you eat, the more hungry you get. You understand where I'm coming from? It's like the more you eat of him, it is the more hungry. The more you drink of him, the more thirsty. I mean, like, it's so good. Right? So it says here, with a broken life, the person exhibits deep contrition when he offends God. So it breaks your heart to offend him. That's what happens. It rips you, it tears you apart when you offend him. And so from the time you realize, you're flat out on your face, asking that he will forgive you and help you not to return to that place. Right? The next point says he uses his tongue rightly. He is conscious that he carries the presence and the glory of God. Matthew 6:33. Okay, so the person who has to read Matthew 6:33, I think that's Ramona.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was reading in Spanish. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So it says here, he is conscious that he carries the presence and the glory of God. So he's mindful of how he uses his tongue. Because again, as I said, we know that we can gather or we can scatter with the tongue. We know that there is power, there is life and death in the tongue. And as I said before, Jesus said, I can only say what my Father says. Right? Because he understands that he carries the presence of his Father, that he is his Father, a representation. And it's the same thing for us, you know. We have to really understand that when we hear about false witnesses, people think that a false witness is a person that gives a false report. But we can also be false witnesses when we don't represent the Lord right in terms of how we live, in terms of how we, our lifestyle. We are false representatives. So we are false. We are falsely representing Christ. So we are false witnesses of Christ. Right? So a false witness is not just a person that gives a false report or an inaccurate report in a court case or in the court. We can be false witnesses too because we don't represent Christ, right? So our witness is not true. Our witness is false about Christ. You know, that is it. So he says he's conscious that he carries the presence and the glory of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. The next point, enjoys intimate relationship with God and lives a life of praise and worship. Psalm 34:1.
Reading from the Amplified Version. Mm-hmm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His Amen. Praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Amen. Read on
the
a bit.
Humble,
shall hear.
Okay. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Mm-hmm. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice.
Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us lift up his name together.
Amen. Amen. He enjoys intimate relationship with God and lives a life of praise and worship. And why? Because we know that the Lord enjoys our praise and he enjoys our worship. Right? And we know this because of our intimate relationship with him. So he enjoys intimate relationship with God and he lives a life of praise and worship. It speaks about boldness, simplicity, humility, and patience are evident in his life. So he must be bold. He must live a simple life. He must be humble. He must be patient. And a simple life does not mean that you're poor. That's not a simple life. A simple life, understanding and believing the word of God. And from that place, you're operating a simple life. Good. Proverbs 28:1.
Proverbs 28:1 from the Amplified. Mm-hmm. The wicked flee when no man pursues them. But the uncompromising and righteous are bold as a lion.
Amen. The uncompromising. Again, ties right back into what we said about just being simple. It's simplicity. It's simple. You see the word and you believe it. It's simple. You live a life without compromise. May the Lord help us all. May the Lord help us all. You know, to live a life where there is boldness, where we reflect these boldness, simplicity, humility, and patience, where these are all evident in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. He waits on the Lord and maintains his prayer altar. Psalm 27:14.
Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, amen. I say, on the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, I want someone to tell me what waiting on the Lord means. Amen. Could someone just expand on waiting on the Lord? When we wait on the Lord, what does that mean?
If you ask God for something, you have to wait.
Yes.
That means... Say, yeah, That's what I would say. If you ask God something, you want a job, or you want a husband, or you want a child, you married and you want a child. You don't go and force yourself to have it, but you wait on God when He provides it for you. That's
okay. Anyone else wants to add to Teresa?
Yes, you allow Him to direct you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like trusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're waiting, is that you're trusting that He will respond. So are you waiting on the Lord? Because you know what? I trust Him. I trust that He has heard and that He will respond to me because I am His daughter and His desire towards me is good. So I'm just waiting on also, Him.
Ashley?
Hi.
Just to say also that sometimes when you're waiting, mm-hmm. the counterfeit comes.
Sorry?
When you're waiting sometimes, the counterfeit comes.
Sorry, when you're waiting sometimes, you said what?
The counterfeit, the false thing comes.
Yeah, it does. That's why it is critical.
You have to know the voice of the Lord.
To maintain your prayer altar in the process. Right. That is critical. To maintain the prayer altar in waiting. Waiting encompasses praying, read just intimacy, waiting, because you can only trust someone if you have relationship with them. And then you know if the person is a trickster or not, according to Bajans. If he's a trickster or if you're not a trickster. The only way I would know if you're a trickster is if I have relationship with you. And relationship, we know the relationship with the Lord is our lifestyle. So we're praying, we're reading, we're listening to Him, you know, is you knowing His voice, you know, training yourself to know His voice, asking Him to help you to know His voice so that when the counterfeits come, that you will be able to see them afar off. It is true. Waiting on the Lord and maintaining His prayer altar. 2 Timothy 1:7, a sound mind.
Second Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen. Soundness of mind. So we spoke about the unstable, the emotionally unstable person. So this is basically the opposite. A sound mind, which means the person is stable. And we know the only way that we can be stable is when our foundation is in the Lord. The only way we can have a sound mind, you know, soundness of mind is the Lord that keeps our mind sound. It's the Lord that keeps us sane. If you want to say, if you want to use another word, a sound mind, sanity. You know, it's only the Lord. It's only God's grace. It's by His grace, you know, that we have this sound mind. He said He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, you know, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. He has given us a sound mind. So we are grateful. And before I move on to, this is the evidence of a broken versus an unbroken life. And before I move into the other slide, I just want to ask the question. Now, granted, we know, we see this evidence of a broken versus the unbroken life. I want to know why now. So this is actually one of the aims, but I want you to answer before I even move on to my slide. I want to know now, why is it then important for every man and woman to be broken? I want a couple answers. So this is the second aim we're answering. You know, why is brokenness a must for every man and woman? Before I move on to the next slide, I want like two or three persons to tell me why then. We said already that brokenness it speaks about complete surrender and submission to the Lord. Then we went on to say some of the evidence then of an unbroken life. If the person is contentious, if this they have pride, you know, if they have a sick tongue, you know, there is evidence that's flesh still speaking. So the Lord does not have complete access to that individual. Whereas a person that the Lord has complete access to, the person has a sound mind. They use their tongue rightly. They enjoy intimacy with the Lord. They are bold. So why is it that every wailing woman should I don't want to say experience. Okay, good. So why is brokenness a must then for every reigning woman? That's the way I should word it.
Ashley.
Yes, please. This is Sharianne.
Yes, please.
Good, I'm listening.
Right. It is necessary so that we can be at the place that he wants us to be as a veiling woman, to be, so that we will be at the height, as in the prophetic word, to talk about a triple height for us.
So that
we will be at the place that he wants us to be, so that we can hear from him, because we are supposed to be the watchmen. So being broken is part of being a watchman for the nations.
Yeah.
So if we are broken, then we will be able, we will be better able to do his will, carry out his mandate for our lives and for the lives of the nations.
Okay, good, good, good. I want two more responses. And I remember the video that we watched in the beginning with the potter and the clay, and what the lady was saying. So I would like two more responses as to why brokenness is a must for every reigning woman, granted what we just went through, the definition and the evidence.
To be broken, so you could just say your name.
Mm-hmm. Teresa? Mm-hmm.
Teresa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be broken, to do the work of the Lord, or to do, to be a willing woman, you must give up everything. You have to be broken. Like the potter show you, we are not, we cannot do it on our own. God is the one who has to turn us around and to make us the person we want to be. Because
we are, he wants us to be.
We cannot do it on our own.
We are who he wants us to be. Who he wants us to be. You mean who he, who God wants us to be. Right.
Because we cannot just do it on our own. We have to surrender everything to him.
Yeah.
And let him do the work in us, and let the Holy Spirit guide us, because without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything.
Anything. That's true.
I don't know if somebody has something else.
Yes, I want someone else to. Someone else was speaking as well. You can go ahead. You could just say your name first and go ahead.
I'm thinking about the potters and the fact that we are shaped to the image and likeness of God. So he wants us to be like Jesus, where people will be able to be impacted by us in the world we live in, by the actions, because there is transformation in us. So meaning, as we transform daily, others will see Jesus, and of course the Holy Spirit that is guiding us every day will be seen, and will be, we will be helped by the Holy Spirit. So our work for the Lord will be seen by men, and I believe that that is why we have to be broken. We have to be broken, meaning transform. So every day something is coming out. And one of the characters of God, one of these, his, what Jesus emulated is seen, love, and the fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, humility, self-control, all these things will be seen gradually in us as we transform.
Yeah.
And because to transform, you have to break. You have to, whatever was there has to go
to
place, to fight. what God wants in us and is his character in us.
Correct, correct. It's his character in us that he wants, because he wants us to resemble him, even as I spoke before about a false witness versus a true witness. So he wants us to resemble him, to look more like him, you know? He wants us to look more like him, to smell more like him, to taste more like him. Yeah. One other person. We can have another person.
Yes, Ashley. Sabrina Skinner. Sabrina? That point that you just made, I'm glad that you made that, because I wanted to go back there. Mm-hmm. When we were looking at the whole thing of waiting. Two things had come to me, that there can be something called active waiting. Mm-hmm. And so as you receive the instructions, you're carrying them out. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing of having a spirit of discernment. Mm-hmm. So as the spirit speaks to you through the senses, that spirit of discernment is very necessary. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the being malleable. Mm-hmm. On the wheel, and I looked at the vessel that was being shaped. Mm-hmm. And so God shapes us according to the pattern that he has designed for mm-hmm. us. And yeah. then I saw with the vessel being open, the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that would empower us to do whatever that work is that he has called to us. And it's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ and the work that he's called
us. Correct. It's right. So you see, when I look at it, if I can just say, for me, why is brokenness a must for every wailing woman? It boils right back down to usefulness in the hands of the Lord. Right? It boils right back down to usefulness. I remember when the Barbados team had started to grow, and I was hearing constantly, you would hear the same thing. The Lord said, I will break you down and build you back into what I want and build you back into what is useful in my hands. I mean, every week you go to meeting, and this is for me. The Lord was saying to me, I will break you. And when he said you, he didn't mean me. Just me, sorry. He meant the entire team. I mean, and we were going through. And the Lord was just saying, he was just saying to me, I will break you down and build you back into that which is useful in my hands. I am going to break you down and build you back into that which is useful in my hands. And he meant all of us. And what I saw was the breaking of us as individuals and building us back together as one vessel. And it was for us to be then useful in his hands. So whenever I think of brokenness, I always think about usefulness, you know. You must be broken. You must be completely surrendered so that the Lord could really then use you. You know, for it's his purpose. What is it what is it that you want? You know, am I a cup, a plate, a fork, a spoon? What am I? You know, the word of God talks about vessels of honor. I am a vessel of honor in Jesus' name. All of us here on this call are vessels of honor in Jesus' name. Men and women worldwide are vessels of honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, so whenever you think of it as, you know, like the why, it always usefulness. Usefulness. You know, and the scripture that came to me, oh yes, usefulness, and that we will reflect him, that we will look like him, you know, that we will be true witnesses. We will resemble him. The same thing with Jesus saying again, I can only do what my father do and say what my father says. So when you see me, you see my father. When you see me, you see Jesus. You know, that's really what it's supposed to be. And the scripture that came was the scripture that says, may we be found worthy of the calling that the Lord has placed upon us. You know that scripture? I don't even know where it's taken from, but I know the scripture. May we be found worthy. May we all be found worthy of the calling that the Lord has placed on our lives in Jesus' name. So let me just move on to the next slide. So it says, why is brokenness? Question, I want to know if this, I have like a participant's block open. I'm just hoping that it isn't blocking the text. Can everyone see? See the slides?
Most of it, but some of it is blocked out.
By what? The participants box I have open?
There's a box there that that blocks the top line.
Okay, good. I wasn't too sure if you could see that or not. So that's why I kept it there so I can see when people are coming in and out. Okay, good.
Much better.
Sorry about that. Sorry. You must let me know next time. Sorry about that. Good. So why is brokenness a must for every reigning woman? 2 points. The flesh is a great enemy to any serious believer, let alone an intercessor. God is a good investor. He cannot afford to put his anointing on someone who is still active in the flesh. As long as we remain active in the flesh, we are at enmity with the Spirit and cannot please God. Galatians 5, this is supposed to be 17. It says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So you are not to do whatever you want. You are not to do whatever you want. That's what Isaiah is saying. The Spirit goes contrary to the flesh. So the flesh and the Spirit, they can't walk together because they don't agree. They do not agree. And as it says, the Lord is a good investor. He cannot afford to put his anointing on someone who is still active in the flesh. Imagine the Lord placing the anointing on someone who is still struggling with anger. You know, still struggling with offense and unforgiveness. Imagine the Lord releasing, because anointing is really power. We know this. So imagine somebody walking around with the anointing of God and still, you know, still struggling with certain stuff. And they're releasing curses left, right, and center. Because obviously, if their heart in any right place, your mouth speaks from the overflow of your heart. They will be releasing curses that carry weight. Because the mere fact that they have the anointing, they have power, that means their words carry weight. They will be releasing curses left, right, and center, scattering and killing as well. So if you want to look at it in a simple way or simple form, that is it there. So that is why the flesh is a great enemy to a serious believer, let alone an intercessor. Because we are the watchmen. So imagine you have what would the officer say? Like when they have, like for instance, if something happens and then you realize that it's an inside job. There's a breach in the security. And someone with inside information carrying out assassinations. Because we are the watchmen on the wall, meaning that we are the ones that know everything that's going on in the nation. So imagine someone like that and you still operating in the flesh. You'll be cursing the prime minister and the government left, right, and center, and then wondering why the economy in the state that it is in, why the people in the nation, why the church in the nation is in the state that it is in, because the watchman is out of place. That is why. Because the watchman bringing false reports. Right? So that is why it says that God is a good investor. He cannot afford to put his anointing on someone who is still active in the flesh. So the flesh and the spirit do not agree. They cannot walk together. The second point, it says it brings us to a state of malleability in the potter's hand. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And again, this reminds me of what the Lord was speaking to me constantly, even as wailing women, Barbados was beginning to grow. He's going to break us down and build us into what is useful in his hands. And again, it was like breaking down individuals and then building us back into one pot. The pot that he desires to use. Again, so why is brokenness a must for every wailing woman? That is why it's a must for every wailing woman. So we're going to go over now into, okay, let me try. Good. Experiences that lead to brokenness. So there are two types of experiences that lead to brokenness. There's a pruning experience and a wilderness experience. You know, even before I get there, let me just jump back a bit. So I want someone to tell me when you speak about, because good, these are the experiences that lead to brokenness. So we spoke about, we gave the definition, we spoke about the evidence of brokenness, and then we spoke about why it's necessary for wailing women to be broken. And now I want to know the experiences that the Lord would use to bring us to that place of brokenness. So there are two general experiences. We talk about the pruning experience and the wilderness experience. I want someone to tell me about the pruning experience, and then I want someone else to tell me about the wilderness experience. When you hear pruning experience, what comes to mind? Then when you hear wilderness experience, what comes to mind? And then we would move over. So you just give us your name first, since I can't see the person. You can speak. You can go ahead. I can hear someone.
Sabrina. Pruning.
Uh-huh.
When I think of pruning, I think of grapes and the shears that must cut back. And cut out and cut off whatever is not being productive in order for greater productivity and lushness and abundance to come forth.
Okay.
Now and I want that is applied to our lives
right.
through various experiences. For example, you know, sometimes we say, Lord, give me more patience. And so he will provide those experiences to ensure that you become more patient.
Okay. All right. Good. So that's an example there of pruning, a definition. I need someone to give me speak about wilderness, the wilderness experience. Before we go into defining them. Is anyone willing? Or anyone has an idea? Let me speak about a wilderness experience.
Self-dying. Mm-hmm. When you the Bible said to crucify your flesh, so you have to be submission.
Hey, Teresa? Teresa just...
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. So submission, you said dying to flesh. Let's go ahead. So that we can speak about it. Experiences that lead to brokenness. As I said before, the two experiences. So pruning, God prunes to redirect and channel growth that he might gather a greater harvest. He does not only prune to remove what is bad, but also the good and the better, so that he may give us the best. Right? So if you're familiar with gardening, you know that this is the case. Here you cut back, you can cut back your trees, regardless of how nice it looks, you can cut it back and guarantee that when it starts to shoot back out the leaves or shoot back out the fruits, that they look better than the ones before. Guarantee. The same thing with our hair too. That's why we trim our hair, so that it can shoot out fresh. So you cut it back, cut it back. A lot of Indians do it. You know, the hair looking nice and, you know, cut it back, cut it. They're forever cutting the hair and it's forever shooting out longer and longer and longer and thicker and nicer. We do the same thing with our hair. We call it trim, but hair is pruning. So John 15:2 says he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So the ones that don't bear fruit, the things that don't bring God honor, he will cut off of our lives. The things that don't honor him, he will cut off. And the ones that have fruit, he will begin to tweak them. He will begin to prune them, you know, so that they would grow even more, that more fruit would come forth. That's what John 15:2 is saying. Job 5:17-19, blessed is the one whom God corrects. We know that this is so true. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. From 6 calamities, he will rescue you. In 7, no harm will touch you. Amen. We know the word that says that the Lord chastises the ones that he loves. We know that, and we do the same thing. We lash our children so that outsiders don't have to lash them. We lash them so that the police will not have to lash them. That's why we lash our children. That's why we discipline our children, you know. We discipline our children so that the police will not have to discipline them. So the teachers will not have to discipline them. So that strangers will not have to discipline them. That's why we discipline our children. And it's the same thing with the Lord. And, you know, even as I was looking at this pruning experience, what does pruning experience? Actually, when you hear pruning experience, what comes to mind? What comes to mind for me is excess. I know it says here, the Lord, he cuts off, you know, even the ones that are, you know, good so he can get even better, and the better ones so he can get better. But when I see pruning, what comes to mind is excess. The excess stuff that really ain't necessary. Let me just deal with this. Let me deal with this. And I was just even like thinking about experiences in my life. And I remember there was a season in my life. I was in my probably my early 20s. And I remember it's like every side I turn, if you turn to the left, if you turn to the right, somebody getting married, somebody having children, somebody this. And it's like, Lord, what about me? You know? It is, Lord, what about me? Actually, that is not my that's not my example for pruning. I think that's my wilderness one. My example for pruning, sorry. Let me just make sure, because I had two examples, two life experiences. It seems as though I can interchange them, actually. Yeah, I can interchange them. I can interchange them. I was right. So I can use this one as a pruning. Because, you know, coming through, coming out of that season of my life, the Lord showed me that when I thought, the Lord, he actually said to me that in the season where I thought that I was dying, he was actually preserving my life. So it's like, you know, I you know, come, you know, the Lord, and even as the Lord starting to process you, you realizing that there are things in your life that are issues that you didn't even realize before. And the Lord just bringing them one at a time to the surface and dealing with it. One at a time to the surface and dealing with it. Even in terms of priorities. Because as I was looking on at my friends, who somebody getting married, somebody having a child, this body, they're going to university, this body going somewhere else, right? But yet me, they're battling because now I come to the realization I love Jesus. And you know what? I realized that I need help in my life and I want to serve the Lord. And so although I'm feeling all of these emotions and I feel this way, I still don't want to let go because I believe that this is the best decision I ever make in my life. Yet I'm still looking and seeing people doing and getting through what I thought was, you know, getting through in life because they're getting married, they're having the family. You know, I see that as getting through. And the Lord said to me, in the season where you thought that you were dying, I was preserving your life. The Lord was shifting my priorities. He was pruning me. He was pruning me for a purpose. And so even when I read, was looking at like experiences, I saw the Lord cutting off, because that's really and truly what the Lord was doing. You know, even as he was reorganizing my priorities, you know, he was cutting off the things that I thought was important. Not saying that family isn't important, because I'm not only referencing family. There are a whole other set of stuff that the Lord was dealing with me concerning. Again, when it boils right down, it was my priorities. And the Lord was bringing them and allowing me to see, well, you know, you saw this, you had this in the category one, but really and truly, this isn't a priority, do I actually? This isn't a priority. So you need to shift that down a little further. You had this in two, but guess what, Ashley? It really ain't that important. So you need to shift this back. You know the scripture that we referenced earlier about seek ye first the kingdom of heaven? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added unto you. The Lord began to shift my priorities to show me that he is paramount, and as long as I serve him, as long as I prioritize him, every other thing in my life will come into alignment. The Lord was pruning me. I'm telling you. And he said it when I came out, because I literally, it was like if I was underneath water. And it's like you're struggling, you're fighting to stay afloat, you're fighting. And the Lord said to me, Ashley, you see, when you thought that I was, that you were dying, not even that he was killing me. The Lord said, when you thought you were dying, I was actually preserving your life. And I was able to then say, Lord, I give you praise. Daddy, I thank you. I thank you and I give you praise, because you know what? I did not even know. I could not even see. But because of his desire and his love for me, he continued. He didn't let me go because I was complaining and fretting and fussing. No. You know, he was relentless. The Lord was relentless concerning his pursuit of me. He wanted to ease me. And who benefited now? Me. I am the one reaping the benefits. The Lord reaping benefits too, but I reaping benefits. I reaping the benefits. All now. And I give God praise. As it relates to wilderness experience now, it says dying to self is a killing, a training field that no serious Christian can escape. It is a place of definite encounters with the Most High. It is a time of disillusionment, confusion, adversity, opposition. It looks like you are going in the opposite direction to your dreams, but it's all a part of God's schemes to bring you into your destiny. And you see the same example that I used just now, I could use it for the same wilderness experience. Because it was like disillusionment for me. I was confused, you know. It was like going in the opposite direction of my dreams, not knowing that it was all a part of God's plan for me. I could use that experience, or I could tell you about the experience where I went through a wilderness experience. Where, because when you hear wilderness, you think about being alone, because when you're in a wilderness, or like in a desert or whatever, you always think about, you know, being alone. It's like, I alone. Like, I can't hear the Lord. I can't see the Lord. No one understands what I'm going through. So nobody can help me. The things that I thought, well, the foundations, it was like if your foundation get ripped right from underneath you. Because the things that I trusted in the Lord revealed to me that I should not be trusting in these things, if I put it in a simple form. So the things, you know, the word I tell you about some trusting chariots and others in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I was trusting in chariots and horses. That was my situation. I was trusting in chariots and in horses, but when the chariots got mashed up and the horses died, I was in the wilderness walking with myself. And the Lord, you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said to me, like when I was going through, because I mean, like when you're going through these experiences, it's like, oh my Lord, Let us lay one more. I could bear. Father, want more. I don't know how much longer. You know, I could go through the season. Lord, help me to come out. I don't know how much longer I could enjoy the season. You know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said, Ashley, I am dealing with foundational things now at this level, so that as you go higher, right? The higher you go with these faulty foundations, the harder it will be to deal with them. And so I am dealing with these foundational issues at this level of your life, so that as you grow in me, they will not become, because the higher you grow, the firmer these foundations will start to firm up. And as opposed to knocking it away with a piece of wood, then you're going to get a sledgehammer to be cracking foundations. Because obviously, you know, the older the cement get, the harder, the stronger it becomes. So when I thought that all was well and I was running, you know, everything happening. Yes, I doing for the Lord. Yes, Lord, I in the right place. And then when the Lord began to deal with things that I did not even see in my foundations, I thought that I would die. And the Lord spoke and said, Ashley, I'm dealing with the foundational things now, because the further you go, if you continue to build on these foundations, you would run yourself in problems. And the further you go, the greater the loss would be. So, you know, even as we focus on this topic, it's not a simple topic. It's not a simple matter. Like, this thing bringing tears to my eyes. Because I know what I went through. I'm not, I know what I went through. I know what the Lord took us through. I know where we came from. And I know how critical this process is. And it's not like you just go through once. You don't just go through once. But the thing about it is that the more yielded you are to the Lord, the easier, I guess, because now you understand why you are going through, it becomes a bit easier to go through. Not that easier in that it hurts less, it hurts the same, but now you have an understanding of why. So when I look back at these experiences, you know, they bring tears to my eyes, because you know, you literally felt like you would die. Literally. But I can see the fruit now. You know, I can see the fruit now. You know, my life is a testimony. And I know that if the Lord did it for me, he can do it for you. You know, so this topic about brokenness, and I don't know why, whenever this topic is to be taught, I am always the person that has to do it. You know what? God is good. My life is testimony of the goodness of God. You know? And that his desire is perfect towards us. You know? So I give God praise. I give God praise. So we want to talk now about the benefits that come about through brokenness, as well as the different instruments that the Lord would use, or the Lord allows, you know, these various instruments. So I guess let's look at the instruments first before we look at the benefits. So the instruments that the Lord can use to break a person is his word. It says that his word is fire. It's like a hammer. And we know that the word of God is a sword. And not only a simple sword, it's a double-edged one. So both people get cut, the one in front and the one behind it. They both get cut. It says the Holy Spirit is another instrument that is used to break us, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. So when we are doing something that is wrong, it is the Spirit of God. It ain't something tell me, or I the feeling like. It's the Holy Spirit in us that convicts us. Betrayal of trust. You know? Betrayal of trust. These are instruments, and it's not that the Lord has put this thing on you, but he allows. Right? He allows it to happen. betrayal of trust so that it will bring you to your knees. And this is the exact one when I was trusting in chariots and trusting in horses instead of trusting in the name of the Lord. You know, but no, hey, my portion, my lot is that I trust in the name of the Lord. I don't trust in chariots and I don't trust in the horses. I trust in the name of the Lord. False accusations. When people falsely accuse you, this is another instrument that the Lord uses, you know, to break us. Well, allows, not uses again, because it's not the Lord doing it. It is not him. He allows it. He simply allows. Because the word of God says that he does not tempt. The word clearly says that the Lord does not tempt. All right? So it is that is he allows or he disallows. So he covers with his hand or he removes his hand to allow. And we know that's what he did regarding Job. But he said to the devil, he said to Satan, you can't kill him. So we know that Satan could not even just go and touch Job. So it was that the Lord allowed it for a reason. Allowed. He didn't do. He just allowed. Right? So the Lord allows these things. So he allows false accusations. You know? And then it really shows us what we are made of. Because sometimes by the end of these false accusations, we more guilty than the person who bring the false accusations. The way that we respond, it shows us what's in our hearts when these false accusations come. And me again, when false accusations came against me, the way that I responded, I didn't even know that was in me. But the Lord allowed me to see, still operating in the flesh. Ashley, you're still operating in the flesh because I'm ready to fight. Ashley, you're still operating in the flesh. It says waiting are delayed answers to prayer. We know how we get anxious and we run ahead of the Lord. You know, we snatch it out of the Lord's hand and running out front hard. We ain't waiting on God because we don't trust him. You know, all of these things. Isolation and rejection. Again, how you respond when you are isolated or when you feel rejected. How do you respond? Shows whether or not you are broken. Shattered vision. Again, when your vision is shattered, your vision of who you are or where you expected to be at this stage in your life, when it is shattered, how do you respond? You know, all of these instruments show us, you know, it really shows you what is inside of you, what you're made of. Don't let me say what you're made of, but what is still operating on the inside. That's what I should say. That's how I should say. These are instruments that the Lord uses to show us to bring them up. And as long as the Lord brings them to the surface, they're not ready to deal with them, you know. So he's not bringing them to convict you. Not convict, sorry, what's the correct word? Condemn. He's not bringing them to condemn. It's to convict so that you could enter and do the right thing. Because he is a good father. Right? So he doesn't want to condemn. He convict him so that you know that it's there. And as long as you know that it is there, you know that it has to be dealt with. So the benefits now of brokenness, it speaks of you're spiritually pliable. And that's like when we watched the video in the beginning with the potter and the clay, you know, how it was pliable in her hands, malleable in her hands. It makes you useful for every good work, not only work in the church, you know. Brokenness does not just make you spiritually pliable as it relates to usefulness in the church, at work, in your home, every place you go, you are a blessing, you are favored. It says it leads to spiritual power and death to the flesh. Mm-hmm. Death to the flesh and increases spiritual power. It says it brings fruitfulness and fruitfulness in every good work, everything you put your hands to prosper in. So when you're in the office and people see you and wondering, we're really going on, I mean, like whenever. Whenever there is a good report, Ashley name always attached to it. What's going on? And anything about it, you know, she's a simple girl. So already going on. Everything good. Every time you hear this, every time, you know, or when this is, when something happening, when something, you know, when they're blessing somebody, who all the time is be Ashley that's beginning these things. Why? Because they're fruitful in every good work. It brings about character transformation. So you see the person character change. That's me again. Your character does change. Sometimes you look back at who you were before and it's like you're disgusted. And I'm being honest. At the things you used to do, the things you used to say. Right? It says it strengthens your spiritual foundation. Yes, it does. Because you believe more. You know, you're getting more intimate with the Lord. The relationship is solidifying. It's growing. It says it enables you to give birth to Isaac ministries against Ishmael ministries. And we know Ishmael ministries, Ishmael. The word says that he will be wild. Although the Lord had blessed him, you know, blessed Hagar and Ishmael. He was Abraham's son. But at the end of the day, he was not the child of promise. We know that Isaac was the covenant child, though. We know that Isaac was the child of purpose, that Isaac represented a blessing. So it's saying now that this is the type of ministries that we will give birth to. Covenant ministries, ministries that are blessed, ones that are purposeful. So these are the benefits of brokenness. These are the benefits. And let me see how much time we have. Good. Does anyone want to add anything before we go on to the how do I get broken? Anyone wants to share anything? Okay, so I guess that's a no. So we can now move on then to how do I get broken? We have that same one, Psalm 39. So let me just read it quickly. So it says, first we must repent. Psalm 139, 23, 24, it says, search me, O God, I know my heart. Try me, I know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So it says, how do I get broken? You must first repent for living a life of unbrokenness. Then you must acknowledge you cannot be broken by personal effort. So we must acknowledge that it's the Lord. We need the Lord to help us in this process. We must deeply hunger and thirst after God. You know, you must have that desire to please Him. Then you must also deepen your relationship with Him. And we spoke about how do you go about deepening your relationship? How do you go about, you know, you want to know Him more. How do we go about knowing the Lord more? Through His word and through prayer, through worship, you know, through listening to Him, you know, through conversing with Him. Then it says, take firm control of your mind. It says, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all. How do we guard our heart? We guard our heart with the word of God, you know. That's how we guard our heart. The more you read, you guard your heart. It's more interaction with the Lord. The more you read the word of God, the more you interact with Him, the more you pray, the more you worship, everything. You know what? That's how we guard our hearts. We don't guard our hearts with a shield, or we don't guard our heart by saying, I'm not letting anyone into my heart. That's not guarding your heart. You guard your heart with the word of God. Because the more you see God, the less the other things is fading to the background. You know, the more you focus on Him, every other thing is fading to your background. So, are you really interested in who and what ABC say to tell the truth? I know what Jesus said about me. So, are you interested in what ABC say? And then it says to live a life of regular fasting because it deals with the flesh. And we know that this is so important. You know, a living a fasted life. you know, we deny the flesh. And I always say, you don't have to run and jump into it. You can do it in stages. You can fast your breakfast. Then you can move from fasting breakfast to fasting breakfast and lunch. Then move from fasting breakfast, lunch to fasting breakfast, lunch and dinner. Do a 6 to 6. And if you want to have a late snack, you can have it. Or just try fasting the entire day and just drinking using liquids. When you use liquids, nothing with sugar. So you can fast even drinking just coconut water. And we know that fasting actually is good for the body as well, both physically and spiritually. Right? So these are just some steps in terms of how do we get broken, you know? These are just some of the steps. Let me see, what time is it now? Because from here, I just have to share the homework with us. But I want us to, what I'm going to do, I'm going to show the video again, play the video. And then I want like 2 persons to pray. Actually, what I'll do, let me just share the homework quickly so that we would just, I'll play the video and then we're going to pray and just end. Does anyone have anything to share though quickly before we go? We have like 12 minutes, I have like 10 minutes. Anyone wants to say anything quickly before we move from here?
Just one thing, please, Ashley, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the definition, I didn't want to say what came to my mind immediately, but it was mashup, that you get mashup and then yeah. God build you back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he doesn't mash up to kill you, sorry. That's it. Yeah, but yeah. Mashup, it's true.
And then the other thing was, you know, you said as you were going through the experience, and I was like, no, Ashley, you don't ask that question. You don't say what's next, because something next will be coming.
Oh boy, well thank God I come out. Well, that season, as I said, the more you draw, the more you understand what. The closer you draw, the more you understand. Wait, but we would always, you know, you always, we'll go through different seasons. We'll go through seasons, but God is good. We'll go through seasons. It's a must. It is a must, you know, so that you would come to the realization that it ain't all about you, though. It really ain't all about you. It is about the purposes of God being established in the earth. And it's an honor to be chosen, to be one, you know, that he chooses to use. So as I said, I'm reaping the benefits. All now in Jesus' name. You know, and that's a desire for all of us, you know, that he would choose us, that he would see it fit, that we would be found worthy of the calling he's placed on us. That's really what it is, you know. We are grateful to God for all that he does concerning us. So let's just move now quickly into. So I have homework here. And I need 6 persons. You can volunteer yourself, preferably from different nations. So it says here, I have the Bible characters. Or at least it should be personalities. I don't like to say characters. I was supposed to change that word as well. Bible personalities who exemplify brokenness. So I just want you to share information based on these 3 categories I have here. And you have 5 minutes each. So this is homework that we will do next week. So next week, this is what we will be focusing on. So we have 6 persons here. Esther, King Nebuchadnezzar, Joseph, Hannah, Ezekiel, Rahab. And I want you to basically indicate which experience. It could be either or, it could be both. Pruning or wilderness. I want you to also indicate the instrument that was used and the benefits that came about. So I need 6 persons to volunteer for next week. And again, it's a five minute presentation. So I just need 6 persons. So you can go ahead, you can call your names. So I could just make note. Who's going to take Esther?
Ashley, is this for next week or is it for Thursday?
Sorry, I always say next week. I mean Thursday. I always say next week. I mean Thursday, next class. Thursday. Sorry. Yes. So Esther, who's going to take Esther?
I would take Esther, but on Thursdays, actually, we have a clash, so I probably could send it to you. I don't know.
I prefer the person to be here so that they could discuss. I don't want to read. I want the person to give me.
Okay.
Yes.
I will be there.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Yes, so I need someone else. Sorry?
I'll take it.
This is who? Brandley?
Brandley.
Okay, because I can't see. Because I'm sharing the screen still, so I really can't see who. Good, so who's going to take King Nebuchadnezzar?
I'll try.
Teresa?
That's good. That's the reason, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to take Joseph?
Ashley.
Hi.
I will look at Joseph.
Sharianne?
Yes.
And when you come, please bring scriptures. Bring the scripture as in like the text that it was taken from too. I forgot to put that in. Who's going to take Hannah?
I take Anna.
This is?
Bible corrupt.
Sorry? Ramona. Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Sorry, Ramona.
Ramona? Okay, good. Uh-huh. Okay, who's going to take Ezekiel? We have Ezekiel and Rahab left. Who's going to take Ezekiel? Hello? Yeah, let me call some names. Michelle Richardson? Are you there? Michelle Richardson? Okay, the person
is not.
Pamela, you want to take Ezekiel or Rahab?
No, I can't take anything else right now.
Okay. So I need two more people. Hello?
Ashley.
Hello?
Sharianne here.
Uh-huh.
I will try and look at Ezekiel.
Sharianne, I think you already... Sharianne, you have Joseph.
That then nobody else isn't volunteering.
Okay, one second. I don't want it double up.
Unless we do
No, don't worry. Yeah, I need two other persons. So I need two other persons. Ezekiel, someone for Ezekiel and someone for Rahab. So V. Henry. Vanetta? This is Vanetta V. Henry.
No, Vanetta is not Henry, I don't think.
Okay.
I think she's Malay.
Okay.
Malay.
So the persons, okay, so it was Georgia or Kenya that said you won't be, it was Kenya that won't be here on Thursday?
Georgia.
It's Georgia. Kenya, what about you? Will you be here on Thursday or you have a meeting?
I have a conference on Thursday. That's why I didn't
volunteer. Have a conference. Okay, no problem.
Yeah. Conference.
Michelle Richardson, but I'm not hearing the person. I'm not. Michelle Richardson is from Trinidad. I don't know the person. It can't be Olivia because Olivia is a trainer, so she has to train the following week, so she can't. Pamela, you said you're not interested. I think Sabrina already talked.
It's not that I'm not interested, but I'm working on something else and it's taking a lot of time, so.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. Sabrina, what about you? Sharon.
Plate is overflowing, but you can add me for Ezekiel.
Yeah.
I'll take Ezekiel.
I know how you mean when you say your plate overflowing. Oh, my. Sharon. Are you available?
I sent you a message in the chat that I would not be in class on Thursday. I have another engagement. So that's why I haven't volunteered so far.
Oh, I can't see the chat because I'm sharing my screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I canceled, right? So that's why, I'm doing like two things at once. So I can't look at my chat right now. Good. So we have no one for rehab. So we're going to leave out rehab in that case because we're not doubling up. Good. Okay. So I'm going to show, let me see how much time we have now. Good. So I'm going to show the video again. Is everyone okay? Everyone understands what they need to do next week. It's only 5 minutes of the presentation. It's Thursday. Thank you. On Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm going to show the video one more time. Just give me a second. Let me just. Here quickly. I'm going to play the video, and then when I'm finished playing the video, I want at least just two persons to pray. I'm in a meeting, love. I'm in a meeting, hon. All right. So you have to get. You can give mommy the phone.
She gonna cut back stuff.
Okay, all right. So we would talk later then. I will call back mommy. Good. Sorry about that. Right. So I'm sorry, just give me a second. Just let me know if you can see my screen. So, yes, I wanted like two persons. Could two persons, as soon as the video ends, could just two persons pray concerning what was taught today? Two persons that are willing. You can just sound your voice right now so that we know we can just flow right in. We have like 4 minutes. Ramona, I would like you to be one of the persons. You're still there, Ramona?
I am here.
Yes. I would like you to just you and just one other person to pray concerning what was taught today, you know, about brokenness, you know, what it is and why is it necessary for every wailing woman, the different instruments, the benefits. Just pray as the Lord leads concerning it. Is there someone else that would pray, that can pray? After
Ashley.
Ramona?
Ashley, yes, I can pray for Ashley.
Hi.
This is Kenya. I can pray first, but I'm going to have to leave right when I finish because I have another meeting that I'm presiding
no
over.
No problem. Okay. So then I would just play the video, and then Kenya would lead out, and then Ramona, you can just pray after, and then you would close. Thanks a lot. So let me just share the screen quickly. You can see my screen, right?
Yes.
So God spoke to Jeremiah one day and he said, go down to the potter's house and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, so I went down to the potter's house and behold, he brought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. And you know, sometimes that's how our lives feel. Something comes along in life and just totally messes up our life. I love the story of the potter and the clay because he didn't stop there. As Jeremiah was watching the potter, so he made it again. I seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah and he said, cannot I do this with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God was speaking to an entire nation at that time, as they had wandered away and turned to idols, and their world was falling apart. Yet God was saying to them, if you just turn over yourself to me, I can remake you again, just like the potter. He was saying that to a whole nation. How much more could he say that to us as individuals? So let me ask you, could this clay ever fix itself? So why is it that we think that we can fix ourselves or that we have to fix ourselves or make things right before we come back to God? When in reality, we never really can fix ourselves, not really. And all God wants us to do is just turn the mess over to him. Just turn it over to him. And so that he can put things back together. Because see, he's the potter. He's really good at that.
You can go ahead.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Father God, we give you thanks. We worship you. We glorify you. Father God, you are God all by yourself. Father God, we thank you for being the great I am. Father God, we are the clay. You are the potter. Father God, we thank you for molding us. Father God, we thank you that your word said that we can come as we are, Father God. Broken, Father God. Father God, thank you for the brokenness, Father God. Because, Father God, when we are broken, Father God, you can use us to your glory and to your honor. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for your word, Father God, that says that we can come to you as we are, Father God. Father God, thank you for being the potter, because we certainly are the clay. Father God, for molding us into what you would have us to do. Father God, as male and women, we are broken. We need to be broken. Father God, because we have such a great work that you have to do in us, Father God. Father God, you would accept nothing else but brokenness, Father God. You cannot use us unless we are broken, Father God. So, Father God, we thank you, Father God, as we come before you. Father God, we are broken, Father God. We come to you, Father God, giving up the flesh, Father God, yielding to your word, Father God. Father God, anything that is not of you, Father God, use us, Father God. Use us. Make us complete in brokenness, Lord. Father God, so you can have your way in our lives, Father God. To use us for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We exalt you, Father. Oh, God, thank you for this lesson today. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for Ashley, my God. Thank you for all willing women that were in the class today. We bless each and one of them, my God. And we thank you, glorious God, for what you're going to do in us, through us,
with this teaching. Father, as usual, you want us to be ready. And we are willing, Father. We are available. And we make ourselves available for you, my God. Thank you, glorious God, for the impactful lesson that Ashley has brought to us. We thank you also, Father, for the opportunity to be what you want us to be, day by day.
Hello, Ramona, we can't hear you.
But it's open. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, glorious God. We bless you. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. We thank you for this time together here today, mighty God. Oh, glorious God, we bless Ashley and her family. We bless, Father God, those who are there in the lesson today, mighty God, in this training. We thank you for each one, mighty God. We thank you for what you have taught us today in this time and season. Thank you for helping us to understand that we need, Father, to be transformed, and we need to, you need to renew our mind, and you need to break us, mighty God, to build us back. We thank you, glorious God. We ask you to take us our separate ways, mighty God, not from your presence, my God. We will go, Father, and we thank you. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for the rest of the week, for the blessings that you will pour into each and one of us in this week. All the days ahead, we bless you, we honor you, we exalt you, and in the name of your son Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen. So Father, we dust ourselves off every dust and smoke of war. We take the tail of the backlash and we smash its head to utter destruction. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment is condemned. And we declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his grace, and he shall reign evermore. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Everyone have a wonderful evening, and I will see you again on Thursday.
Okay. Amen.
Okay, be good and stay safe.
Thank you.
Amen.
Everyone.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.